Because I was uncomfortable with that. I didn't want to, like, the idea of the bumper ending and that just being us made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a jump scare.
Yeah, because we used to, we don't do any shows anymore that don't have their own intro. We only do, like, three shows, so.
Yeah.
The official pay-per-view review intro is now Skip's Run and Slip. So we hope you liked that, folks. But nonetheless, we're here. Happy Tuesday, everyone. AEW Dynasty in the books. We're here for a very special review. And beyond that, because I know everyone has reviewed this show, including me, we're also here to fantasy book a little bit, you know, to look ahead, to ponder the next pay-per-view cycle from All Elite Wrestling. So there's much to get into. We do not have an expert panel. We do have a strong 1-2 punch here. Nonetheless, Young Dukes, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
I'm terrific. I'm glad to have a co-host to ask how I am always. So that'll be Duke's main involvement tonight. he'll be hanging out for the rest of the show. No, I kid, but Duke, you have notes.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
I stole Chris's bit a little bit.
Well, someone might as well do it, right? I mean, yeah, good lord.
Show up anyway.
Yeah. So you've watched the pay-per-view 6 times now, right? Am I correct in saying that?
Only twice.
Oh, close.
Well, almost every match twice. I did not watch one match again.
Really? Not into Ospreay and Brian, no?
Stop.
Yeah, I actually want to establish now that, like, because of the way that Worldwide worked out last night, I spent, like, 10 minutes on Hook and Jericho, and I want to make clear now that if you're here for that, like, I have nothing left to say. I don't think you want to talk about it, really, so we'll not gloss bad. Over it.
My one note is did not watch this again.
Good. It's very professional. Look, it's better than watching it and getting mad, right? Let's be honest. You might as well just leave it. But folks, if you're watching on the YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Please do subscribe. If you're watching on something else, then go to YouTube and give us the thumbs up and please subscribe. The last video we did, which we're about to get to in a moment because there's some controversy surrounding that, I stressed to the audience, please comment. And we have like 25 comments on this video. Oh, yeah. Only like 2 of which are serious, but you get what you get, I suppose. So let's try and keep that going. Let's try and make that a trend. Speaking of that video, there was some gentlemen booked for that show, some young lions. Now, I do have to be fair to you, Dukes, and saying you had handed in your doctor's note. You was not making it. You are mostly innocent, but as the sort of, I kind of think as the leader of the team. I don't know, dude. Like, I kind of think you got to speak for the squad here. Like, what happened on Friday?
I don't know. They don't even answer I invited them on to today's show, and they didn't answer me.
Is it over? Are you split up? Is it trouble in paradise or something?
I don't know. Tope's in the chat. Maybe he has something to say for himself.
Yeah. Well, nonetheless, the vibrator did appear on Friday night, which was, I was going to say it was good, but it didn't really... None of us really know what it was. We couldn't really make out what was happening with it. So
it's indecipherable.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the bit, I think, on some level. But yeah, nonetheless. Yeah. All right, folks. We implore you to play along here throughout the night because I think there's going to be a lot of times where you can chip in with suggestions and such, especially as we look towards Double or Nothing. But let's start with just plain and simple. It feels silly asking, but I'm going to ask anyway. Dukes, and those of you watching at home, what was your favorite match on AEW Dynasty?
I think I'm going to go with the obvious one, right?
Yeah, it would feel... I mean, you know, it's subjective, but it feels like it's kind of a slam dunk. Doesn't it really?
It's either Brian and Ospreay or the ladder match.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of the ladder match's appeal is tied to how great Brian and Ospreay was.
Yeah, so it's like, how the fuck are they following this?
Exactly, yeah. So I think it's only right we start with Will Ospreay and Brian Danielson. Look, these matches are always complicated, right? Because the hook for this match was that's going to be a great wrestling match. I mean, that's really what it was. I mean, they told the story on TV of who's the better wrestler, and I think they did a pretty good job of that. There were some good promos, no doubt. But really, at core, they were selling you on the match quality of a match that hadn't happened yet. So that is a hard thing to wrestle. It's difficult to kind of match those expectations. I think we even saw that a little bit last year with Dragon and Okada, right? That was like, in fairness, an injury, but you get my point. I think it's fair to say they lived up to expectations, Dukes. What do you think?
I think it somehow over-delivered, even with what I was expecting it to be, which is, I mean, of course.
It's kind of what they do, right?
Both of them, yeah.
So I know you're prepared with notes, so feel free to get into your match of the night. I think the world's match of the night for the most part, unless we'll kind of dive into it. Go for it.
I mean, we started off, they got a pop as the bell rang, which is like, or just a, any match that starts like that, you know, has that feel to it. You know you're going to a good place.
Yep. Very reminiscent of Brian and Omega, right? Oh, yeah. They had that off rash. You were there for that, right?
I was. That was my first wrestling show. I think I peaked.
Yeah, that was a moment in time, dude.
It was crazy. That was
a, yeah.
CM Punk wrestled Powerhouse Hobbs.
Sure did. You've been to All Fresh every year, right? That's correct.
What? Yeah.
Is the first one still like unbeatable?
Yes, but Eddie and Claudio is pretty close.
So I actually think in terms of quality, they're all pretty competitive with one another, to be honest. Because I thought Max and Joe had a really great main event last year. And even like, I remember Jericho and Claudio being a really fun one for the Honor Belt. Yeah. Like, all of the shows are good, but it was your first show and it was the first show there. But anyway, back to Dragon Ospreay. Go for it.
I usually don't like the Matrix sequence in the beginning of the match, yeah, but the level of execution with these two is like ridiculous.
Agreed, and I don't think it's something that we see Dragon do a lot either.
No.
So it has novelty, right? Like, that was a very Ospreay sequence. And not only did Dragon play ball with that, but he actually kind of fit it. Like, his stuff looked great there. You mentioned execution. Yeah. It wasn't a one-way street. He's sharp as ever in that. So, yeah, I think that's an example of it's not what you do, but who's doing it and how you do it. I mean, I don't need to see two underneath guys do that, but when Will Ospreay and Brian Anderson do it, it's like, okay, yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Very, very cool.
After that, I think one of my favorite things during the match was when Brian started just giving body shots and working the midsection.
Yeah. Oh, just trying like straight shots in the
yeah
corner.
He had him on the ground, then he punched him in the stomach, then he pop up and punch him in the face. Fucking awesome.
And that was when the match kind of trended into like,
yeah, that's like nasty.
Kinda, yeah, he kind of started trying to rough Ospreay up, mm-hmm, right? Because he's the slower guy in there, so he kept kind of testing the grit of Ospreay. That was a great little section there for sure.
Will hit the flippy kick, and it actually looked like it hit Brian pretty good.
Flippy kick, right?
That one specific move pisses me off because it never looks good.
It's like,
but he did hit it this time.
Okay, good. Good. It's very impressive live, I will say. Very impressive live.
Fair. I don't think I've ever seen him live.
Fake fan.
Well, get what you get. Maybe I will at Forbidden Door.
I'm sure. I think he's going to be on the card. St. tells me he's going to be on the card somewhere. Yeah. I think it'll change soon.
You have anything else?
I
have more, but I was just asking you.
No, go for it. Go.
Okay. Avalanche Tiger Suplex. What the fuck?
Dude. And then the way that Ospreay did that bounce bump.
Yeah, the bounce bump. And then on the replay, you can totally tell that Brian just like slowly put him down. But it still looked fucking nasty.
And Ospreay does those sick, like, he does those whiplash bumps, right? Mm-hmm. Like, say what you will about Ospreay's selling, but his bumping is unquestionable. That part of the game is, like, 10 out of 10. He is extraordinary.
The way he lands on, like, the back of his neck and then his legs spring up immediately. Yeah. It's nasty.
Do you know, because you rewatched it, do you know how far into the match that was, the suplex?
It's right after the flippy kick in my notes.
Because in my memory, that's where the match really escalates, you know.
But yeah,
there's a long time left. Still,
it was actually after the body work, and it was like towards the middle of the match.
Yeah,
I'd probably say like 10-15 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
Ospreay hit a hidden blade on the outside that looked like murder.
The hidden blade is awesome.
it's one of my favorite moves in wrestling.
Yeah, he should pin everyone with a hidden blade. Mm-hmm. I know, like, he says the Stormbreaker hurts his back, and that's why he doesn't do it all the time, but...
Good.
Just don't do it. Like, the hidden blade is...
Or Tiger Driver. One of
the coolest moves in wrestling.
But he can't use the Tiger Driver anymore. He said he's not going to use it now.
Yeah, do you think that's coming out at Wembley, do you think?
Probably, depends on who he's wrestling.
Yeah.
If he's wrestling for the belt, then yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting. There's definitely a reason they kind of did that whole deal. It's going to, I mean, I'll get into some fantasy booking afterwards, but proceed with your notes. Yeah, law.
Oh, when Brian hit the fucking La Mystica, I sprung up out of my chair and I stood up and started applauding.
He was a standing ovation at this point.
Yeah, I don't know if it was then, but at one point in the match, I stood up and started clapping.
Was this, had they tried to win not worthy yet? Was you ahead of them?
That was on the Hidden Blade on that during the outside.
Okay. Fair enough.
While that was happening. First near fall where he like ducked the Hidden Blade and then hit the knee. Incredible.
Yeah, man. The placement of the Psycho knee throughout was a highlight. They had a lot of good ideas for that shit.
It's so good. And then the one spot where they were standing in the corner. Each corner, and they like charged up their finishers and ran at each other. Fuck. It's like genuine fucking movie shit. It's cinema, but like it actually was.
It's actually cinematic.
Yeah.
Like it's, and it's also, by the way, credit to them. The way they shot the part where they're in the corners was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is like an all time great AEW moment. I was talking about it last night on Worldwide, but Dragon's like, Dragon knows it's over. Like, he knows he's not going to win this race. And he has this face. And then he starts doing the yes. As if so, if we're going to do it, I'm going to go out and swing. And it is incredible moment. And, God, he killed him with that Hidden Blade, too. My goodness. Good Lord. Incredible.
The final, 5 minutes of that match, I was just in, complete awe.
Yeah.
It was pretty perfect.
I'd say it was good.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it. It's one of those matches that I don't remember a ton of, I don't remember a ton of individual moments, and I'm glad you had the notes to go, because it was a little bit of a dreamlike state, I found. It was quite surreal.
That's why I felt like I had to go back and watch it, because I feel like so much happened, but I didn't, gather any of it.
Yeah. Yeah, very, 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 very powerful stuff. Ospreay, I mean, we discussed it a lot on Friday about what he does next, but man, I don't know. I think you've got to get that belt on him sooner than later. And I don't mean that to disparage Swerve, who's just won it and should have a run, I think, until Wembley. But did you hear the reaction for Ospreay on Sunday?
It's crazy.
He feels like their top guy, doesn't he, right now?
He's the ace. Yeah. He said it.
It sure feels that way. With that in mind, let's kind of, if you conclude your notes, I don't want to jump on before you.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have Brian Danielson is a sick freak. Tiger Driver 91 being shoot murder move is the realest shit ever.
Factual on all counts. So the angle they closed with Brian being injured, beyond the obvious that you mentioned there about him being sick, which is true. There's a specific reason they did that, right? And Ospreay being sympathetic and so on and so forth. I think that the deal is that Don Callis' family is, this is going to be their inspiration to kick him out. I think.
Yeah. Either that or they'll be attacking Brian and Will make the save.
Yeah, I could see that. Like a deal where Brian's he's already injured.
It could be after the Mox Hobbs match on Wednesday.
Yeah. It feels like, so do you think Double or Nothing, as we do kind of look ahead here as we go, do we think that's Anarchy in the Arena this year?
Oh, fuck yeah. The BCC with Ospreay?
Yeah, because you'd have, I don't know what Wheeler's status is. I hope he's well, because I don't know what the situation is. If it's BCC and Ospreay and it's not Yuta, that would be four, and they have, who do they have? Hobbs?
Hobbs, Takeshita, Fletcher.
Takeshita, and they need a fourth, right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
When's Mark Davis coming back?
That's where my mind was going.
God, he would fucking rule an Anarchy in the Arena.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if there's any indication he's back soon, though, you know? Yeah, it'd be interesting. Hopefully he's back. If he is, then that's the fourth man, right? And you get Ozzy Open back in. There are always guys who, especially if Ospreay's leaving the group and Mark isn't back anytime soon again, I don't know. There are always guys that could join the group. Certainly, there's a million and one guys who are kind of floating around that could benefit from having a mouthpiece, even though, admittedly, the Don Callis family has been a kind of confusing. It's one of those factions that works on paper, right?
Yeah.
And then
bunked up more matches.
Yeah, in my past pro matches, indeed. But I think that's where we're generally headed. It could even be simpler than that, and it could just be Dragon and Osprey versus, you know, Takeshita and Fletcher, Takeshita and Hobbs. It could easily be that. Yeah. Any other kind of routes you could see for Osprey? Because that, to me, feels like the way to get into Wembley. Turning babyface fully. He is one already, folks. I get it. But, you know, he's attached to Don Callis. Do you think that's the direction for him?
Yeah, it feels like it. I don't feel like there's a reason in doing a big singles program right now, because I feel like he's going to go into one over the summer.
Yeah.
I feel like him being involved in the faction warfare would be good.
Do you think there's anything to, I saw some suggestion that perhaps they should do Swerve and Ospreay in Vegas, Swerve wins, and then they run it back at Wembley. I'm very hesitant.
No, I feel like they just kind of did the rematch thing with him and Hangman, right? Like,
yeah, and it also just feels like you want that. To me, like, that's the kind of match you want the people to be dying for before you give it to them, you know? So I think I would hold off on that also. So it seems like, regardless of the specifics, we believe that Dragon and Ospreay will be a team of some kind here. As we head into Ospreay's presumed road to the gold, are you all in on Ospreay winning at All In, or are you like in the middle?
Yeah, at first I like when he was first coming in, before he showed up actually, I was like, oh, maybe it's too soon. Swerve will have just gotten it, but once you see him and like the reaction, everything about him, I feel like it'll be the right time.
Yeah, it's not a reflection of Swerve. It's just like. It feels like you want to really strike with the iron's hot here, right? He just feels like the guy right now. The ace, as you said. As he
feels
said,
so obvious. Like,
yeah. When he's standing there opposite Dragon and the crowd is shutting on Ospreay almost exclusively.
Yeah.
I think at that point...
Every yes chant is followed with a no. It's like, yeah, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah, and it wasn't, you know, I'm kind of an asshole being mean to Eddie Kingston, Bryan Danielson, either. Like, no. He's... On Saturday, he cut a great promo about, you know, this being his heaven and so on and so forth. So, yeah, it was wild. Very special match. Just off the top of your head, because I think these things are impossible, but I'll ask anyway. Where does it rank, gut feeling for you, AEW matches?
It's pretty high.
Yeah? I always find these impossible.
Like, if we're doing, like, I can't give you a number because I don't, like, know. Right. But if it's definitely like the highest tier possible of matches that I've loved and from AEW.
Mm-hmm. Top tier with only, I'd imagine there's only a handful that are in that particular tier, right? Yeah. Yeah. Very, very special for sure. Folks, we hope you're enjoying our start of our Dynasty review here. We'll move forward now to the aforementioned ladder match. Bucks and FTR vacant AEW tag titles. The finish here was like, exactly what you would predict, right? Like, it was like they forecast this totally. You could see it coming. Luckily, it got a great reaction. Timing wasn't perfect, but the crowd popped so much, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, it is what it is. This was quite horrifying, to be honest. The damage that these fellas did to themselves. And in a match that really, I mean, they had no chance of truly following Ospreay and Dragon, as in topping it, but they've actually got them. They hooked them. And this felt big time, but more than anything, this was just plain violent. Dukes, talk us through the big time ladder match. This was pretty special, I thought.
The Bucks were nasty in this fucking match. This is the best. This is one of my favorite Young Bucks performances, probably ever.
I would say
it's like this and Sting's last match.
Yeah, I would say those two, and I'm still very fond of the cage match for the Lucha Bros too.
Yeah. But they're like, this is their bag. Like, violent, gritty.
Yeah, they can be nasty.
Like things that are contrary to what everyone thinks of them is actually what they're best at. Yeah. It's very funny.
They took the first, what would you say, 10 minutes of this match almost exclusive. They beat the hell out of the Young Bucks.
Yeah. Dax hit a fucking gusher, too.
Oh, yeah, he did. And little did we know that by the end of the match, we'd be saying, man, Cash Wheeler's crazy.
I knew that, actually. I saw that coming. I saw that coming.
Yeah, fair.
He's a crackhead.
I don't know about that, but yeah, he's pretty nuts wrestler.
He has to be. There's no other explanation in my mind.
I don't want to ruin your notes, but his dive at the end of this match is legitimately one of the most insane things.
Literally, what I wrote is Cash Wheeler is a crackhead. That's how I always remind myself to talk about it. It was crazy.
The pace of his sprint.
He He's not.
And the way that he like bounced off the table. I'm going to jump around here a little bit because now it's cool. How about the pole driver on the ladder?
Yeah.
Where Dax,
that was right after a 450 to the table.
Yeah, 450 through the table. And then I think what happened was, I couldn't tell. Nigel said the ladder slipped. But what I thought happened was Dax got his foot like stuck on the rung when he went to go up for it. And so they just like collapsed.
He fell twice. Yeah, it was weird.
These dudes are insane.
They're fucking animals.
Yeah, they really are. Anyway, you carry on with where you're at.
I wish JR was on the call for this match.
He'd have got into that, like, this is what it's all about, the passion, the heart, the spirit. What does it mean?
Can you imagine JR when they did the Power and Glory?
Oh, I wish I was recording myself when they did the Power and Glory, to be honest with you. Especially awesome. The way the people got up and was like, we know what they're doing here. Yeah.
Excalibur was great during it, too.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Cash did a flip before the Young Bucks. That's lore.
Did you do a moonsault?
Yeah. That's lore. That's how you knew they were losing.
Cash is probably the most underrated like athlete in Graps.
Yeah.
I'd imagine if he wanted to, he could do some pretty insane shit based on what he does as is. Like, he's a kind of freak athlete, I think, honestly.
Yeah. He's
force.
Over the course of me watching AEW, he's like slowly become one of my favorite wrestlers. Just because of how unhinged he is.
It makes you appreciate how restrained he was as a heel. Because as a heel, you didn't see Cash do any of that stuff. Because that wasn't their thing, right? Like, they were heels. You see him now as a babyface, especially when they need to get the people. He's the guy that they can lean upon and do something crazy. I remember vividly when they worked Japan and they had the match with Great Okan and Cobb, I want to say it was. And that was the thing that got the people was when he did his big dive. And it's like, man, that's the value of Cash. He's fucking firepower in there. It's incredible.
Tremendous. One spot we forgot was Matt going ass first through the table.
Oh, and he hit his head too.
Brutal, dude. Cash also insane sprint on that.
Yep. And just after that, Dax got rounded onto a table and like slid on it like a ramp and fucking smashed his knee on the chair. It was like the worst way he could have gone for it. So, I mean, look, I know there's a lot of fun had about which team's better and all that shit, but like, you can have your fun with that, enjoy it, do your bits. I'm all for bits. Please do appreciate both these teams because they haven't got much longer left doing this stuff.
No.
I'm sure if you asked Dax Harwood's body right now, he would say they've got about 2 weeks left doing this stuff. And, I mean, these guys are two of the great teams ever. They're very special. They are very different, but they're also very similar in a lot of ways. And the number one way is look at how they wrestled in this spot here. I mean, the pride, the passion, it's just – this was – Oracle said to me, in some ways, this was his favorite match of the night, even though he thought Ospreay and Dragon was better. And I wasn't that far, but I actually get what he means in terms of what this – to me, this symbolized something very special in terms of effort. Yeah, man. Legacy game, exactly. It's the kind of stuff you remember one day. But great, great match. Anything else on the ladder match, mate?
Excalibur called what Jack Perry did a criminal offense.
Yeah, Excalibur's sell of Jack was incredible. I'm intrigued how they handle that on TV. I assume that there will be the EVPs reinstating, right? I guess we'll be we've overruled his suspension or whatever. So it's going to be difficult, man. The people are going to cheer Jack, you know? So I don't know how that works for the, because in fairness, they have, Okada's getting them to boo him. So we'll see. Maybe it won't be a long time together. They may actually just use this to spin Jack as a babyface. I'd be tempted, to be honest, but we shall see. Is it fair to guess that some Motor City Machine Guns maybe in the, I think that's the Vegas match, right? Indeed. Indeed. It's either that or like a six-man with DG and FTR or something, I think. So that's what I think is coming. Anything else you could see them doing at the Double or Nothing, Dukes?
It kind of just feels like the Machine Guns.
It does.
We all know what's happening.
Yeah. I think if it's going to be a tag title match, I think that's kind of the only real option, if we're being honest, for Double or Nothing. So, all right. Works for me. So we've covered the two kind of our two favorite matches. Now, I think everyone's list gets a little bit more confusing now. What would be your third match of the night?
Probably the opener.
Okada and Pac, yep.
Yeah.
Continental Championship, Okada and Pac. They had some time, at about 20 minutes, I think. And they used that time for a very, like, a traditional pace, right? They took their time. There wasn't like – and Pac is – it's easy to focus on Okada in that regard, but Pac is more – has more of a deliberate pace than people think because he does high spots. But they found this rhythm, and by about 15, they'd hooked me. This was damn good. Dukes, take it away.
Yeah, I love the Renee intro for Okada, because the way she always does it for the Continental Champion.
Yeah.
They should do that for the fucking world title, too.
Yes. Those touches should be
so
all
good.
Yep.
It's so, so good. All right, JR loves Okada. Real athlete.
Dude, if Okada wrestles Samoa Joe,
oh my
Jim
God.
Ross needs to be on commentary for that, man.
He needs to be on
excitement.
Camera. He needs
he needs to have his own camera in the corner of the screen. Yeah.
He needs his own telecast. He said at one point, he goes, he's living in New York City and he's living the American life.
And that was, unless he was just working because it popped him, that was new info, right?
I had no idea.
I haven't heard anything about him living in New York. So, like, either that was just what popped him or
he... He's living the American life, Taz.
What a beast.
There were so many funny commentary things in this. Taz called the top rope brainbuster a big-ass superplex.
To be fair, it wasn't as clear a brainbuster as usual. So
yeah, it was still funny.
For Jim, Jim wouldn't recognize that was a thing he does, right?
Taz called it that. Taz said, that's a big-ass superplex.
Well, that's even funnier. Okay, never mind. I was playing defense for Jim Ross. It wasn't even who said it. Okay, carry on.
Always play defense for Jim Ross. I respect it. The DDT on the outside. When Pat gets hit with the DDT, it looks like he melts. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it pops me that, like, that's one of Okada's main things in this run so far. Just DDT's put on the floor. And as you said, Pat does that hilarious bump for it.
And now I have to put in an official nomination for best literal grin.
Oh, yeah.
For 2024 Grinnies, which Okada. Oh, my God. He was so funny during this match.
He's so smug, man.
Yeah.
He's so very just kind of oozes arrogance, man. He really is a great heel. He got them to boo him here. He had the Rainmaker pose spot where he flipped them off.
Yeah. Very incredible.
Yeah. Great, great stuff. Dukes, proceed. We may have a third man.
Yeah, I saw that. Pop me. I wrote down, Pac should wrestle Brian Danielson. Hello, shoot.
What is this? Hello, boys.
Oh, mate, what are you doing here on this glorious Tuesday? Well,
I'm the only one without the fucking hat.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. I didn't even notice.
That's the only reason I showed up. Is because I thought I was wearing the hat.
This show's perfect for you and I, Matt, because Dukes has nose.
I do.
So the format is basically he reads it and we go, that was fucking awesome, right? We just pop, basically. So we're talking about the opener right now. Dukes, go for it.
Pac spiked himself on a shotgun dropkick in the corner. He just fucking decided to land on his head.
One of the most insane bump guys in pro wrestling is Pac.
He's fucking incredible. I'm so happy he's back.
And the thing with Pac, too, he never, ever looks rusty.
No.
No matter how long you miss him.
Well,
the
Kip Sabian match.
That wasn't Ross. That was disinterest. It's a big difference.
Yeah, fair. The last thing I wrote down was Okada's face on the deadlift German.
Yeah. He was... I thought the match was very good, but I thought it was... This is a weird kind of way to phrase it, but a very good match with two great performances, if that makes any sense, in that, like, I just thought both guys looked great as much as anything else. And that's in some ways that's more valuable because I actually left this thinking, I wonder what Pac's going to do next. And I have to be honest, I think he's a great wrestler. I haven't done that often. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't often think of him that way. Speaking of such, we're doing some fantasy booking tonight, Matty, but I'm intrigued what both of you think. What are you in Okada? Who's going for this belt next, reckon? We do some Garcia business? What do we think?
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
Kind of, they set up last week, kind of, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's, I'm terrible at trying to predict what AEW is going to do.
That's fine. That's why Fuchs is here. He's got the roster for him.
No, I don't.
I think Garcia makes sense. I don't know if that's the match for Double or Nothing, though. I think that may be a TV. I don't know who the chat, you feel free to help us on this. Like, I think they're going to do the Orange Cassidy match at some point, but that's down the line, right? Because Orange has got to deal with Trent and so on and so forth. So I do think Garcia may be the match here. Is there a chance? We were talking Stadium Stampede earlier. Sorry, Anarchy in the Arena earlier, Matt, and we were talking about what we kind of stumbled upon on Friday, which was BCC and Ospreay versus Don Callis family. Maybe instead Anarchy in the Arena could be the Elite versus, you know, FTR, Garcia, whoever it may be.
That could, Mark Briscoe
and Anarchy in the Arena could be.
That makes a lot of sense. The chat just said Shibata and Okada.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That one scares me.
Yeah, in a good way, though.
I don't know. It just scares me. It makes me I kind of, there's a part of me that's like, that's when I would just leave, I think.
It's like a cursed match.
Both guys look so good right now, though, to be fair. Maybe, man. I don't know.
Okada was phenomenal on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To say it was his best performance in AEW would be like a hilarious understatement. He looked like extraordinary.
Like, I mean, I think he's been good anyway, but this was like, I don't know, man. I mean, I tweeted it on Sunday, and it's not really a hot take, but like having him be a heel immediately is like one of the most inspired choices that, I don't know whose choice it was, but whoever's it was, it's one of the most inspired ones in company history. Yes. Like, I don't know what he would look like as a babyface right now.
So much better than him just being like wrestling legend who's going to have matches. Right?
And he'd be overshadowed by Ospreay.
Yes. Indeed. Speaking of wrestling legends.
Yeah.
Randy the Hooper's here. Folks, Rafe is right. If you're watching on YouTube, please do for us a thumbs up. If you're watching elsewhere, go and do that too. Manny, how are you?
Great. I'm great. I was just listening to y'all's show.
Is your mic on, Manny?
Oh.
He's ahead of me because I wasn't listening at all. I just got on Twitter and saw you were live and then saw you had the WCW hat and was like, well, I get off work in a minute.
It kind of feels like the power is back, right?
Yeah.
People wanting to be on the shows. What is this? It's 2021. I love it. Okay. Okada and Pac, they tore it up. That was a hell of an opener. My personal pick, though, for third favorite match of the night, no surprises here, no cash for guessing this correctly, of course, was the Joe Holbert Invitational, which we're now calling the International Belt. Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly.
Hello.
Hello, man. That sounds like this match was actually, I think, made better by the fact that the people didn't give a fuck about it. It gave it this very, like, this distinct World Championship Wrestling quality where the guys were just kind of whacking each other and being physical, and Roddy put an absolute pace on him. Good. Kyle held in there, man. 17 minutes after as long out as he's had. That I thought he was very impressive here. This was damn good. Manny, this seemed like something that you'd like, right, Roddy and Kyle?
Yeah, this is my second favorite match of the night. I thought this was like, I think I went like 4.5 on it, bro. I thought this was awesome.
Yeah.
everything about like their work looked smooth. Like, I feel like Kyle didn't even miss a step in there. It was insane to see him work that way, and it felt like an actual fight. You know, that's what it felt like. It felt like one of those early Ring of Honor matches you used to see.
Yeah. This to me is like ideal undercard wrestling, where like regardless of the reaction, guys bring it. They lay their shit in. You know, like their stuff looks good, very very nice. Dukes, feel free to run through your notes, and then we'll just kind of go hell yeah, as you said.
Did you hear who, you're not going to say hell yeah to this one. Did you hear who Taz and Shivani compared Roddy to?
I did. And unfortunately last night this sparked 10 minutes of Dean Malenko conversation. So I'm staying innocent. I like Dean Malenko, folks. I got some nasty DMs.
I was just wondering if you heard it. I was just wondering if you heard
it. I know, it's just fine. I'm just going to make it clear that the guy with the 8 WCW hats has watched Dean Malenko wrestle. Breaking news, folks. I'm aware. Good wrestler. Like him.
Kyle O'Reilly's strike sequences are fucking incredible. Like when he gets in the pocket and he starts throwing like palm strikes and he sweeps the leg. Oh,
I also like the one where he like, what do they call it? The axe. What do they call that?
The axe kick.
Yeah, because like, they used to like
John Jones used to do it, right?
Yeah, but there used to be a specific phrase they would use, especially when he's in NXT. The one where he stomps on the back of the guy's head and then they come up for the forearm. That always looks beautiful, too. Yeah, his strikes are always great. Absolutely.
I liked how Kyle just, like, he was trying to be, like, playful with Roddy. Or, like, not playful, but, you know, like.
He was grappling, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and then the more the match went on, he was like, no, fuck this guy, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going for broke.
Totally it. Like, the story they told loosely was Kyle was there for a wrestling match. For the most part, and as soon as Roddy was unable to compete in that wrestling match, he's just like, oh, I'm going to stop beating the shit out of Kyle. And then Kyle had no choice, right? Let's go for it.
That sequence before it ended where I think Roddy hit the rolling elbow, and then Kyle does his Nigel McGuinness impression, Lariat, Jawbreaker Lariat, and they both collide. It was fucking sick, man. We need that kind of shit back in wrestling, man. This is the kind of...
It's back. You just watched it.
Yeah, we need some real motherfuckers in that ring, man. I'm telling you.
Tremendous. Tremendous. Here we go. Axe and Smash. Remember them, Matt?
They were decent.
Yeah.
Are those the guys that do the Power and Glory tag finish or something like that?
No, that was Power and Glory.
Anyway, Dukes, do you have any more notes?
No, I wrote Mike Wardlow is here.
Indeed he was. I don't know why, but he was. There.
I felt for Shoot's tweet because I think it was you that quote tweeted Wardlow's picture of him in a car accident or something like that. I said, yeah, he's not going to be here. I got work too.
Yeah, it was beastly on Wardlow's part.
I didn't really understand. I missed that whole chapter. But Matt, did you like this match?
To give some background, I was at the show last week where Roddy attacked Kyle from behind and broke his heart. And so I came into this match fired up, and then they rang the bell and they locked up. So I just turned the match off and I didn't watch it.
You're so full of shit.
No, this fucking ruled. I'm not going to lie. I rolled my eyes when they locked up, but that's fine. The match ruled. They beat the shit out of each other. So we got where we needed to go. Wardlow tweeting that he was in a car accident 5 minutes before the match and then interfering in the match and not doing anything. Cool. Like I'm not even kidding. Like when Wardlow came out, I was like, first of all, I did pop that he fucking worked a car accident, which he probably actually had, but still the timing of that was intentional. And then he just didn't do anything. And so I decided that was even funnier because I'm not even like, let's think about this. Anyone who actually cared about this match, you know, the 5% of us that watch AEW that cared about this match, the second we saw Wardlow, we were like, oh, fuck this. And then he didn't do anything. And so it was fucking awesome.
Imagine Wardlow in the back, like, looking up car crashes on Google and just like, what can I post?
Yeah, I don't know.
I am fascinated that he actually got in the car accident. I mean, it was in the pictures from Cleveland where he lives, so it might have been legit. He just, you know, was popping himself anyway. But, this match ruled, as you said, Friday. I mean, it's the start, even though I don't know if it's going to be immediate. I'm not sure if they go right back to it, but obviously long term they're going to go back to it. It's pretty clear from the post-match that we're heading towards Wardlow getting kicked out of Undisputed Kingdom, which is probably good for everybody involved. So
maybe, yeah.
He doesn't really fit that group. And
yeah, but I kind of... It's like, you're right, but I don't know what interest there is in the direction that comes from. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's fair too, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
the group's weird, right, in itself. It's not really helping anyone.
I'm not even knocking Wardlow, who I like. But he feels like he's run his course in AEW, which is how wrestling works. I feel like it'd be best for everyone if he got to go to WWE and do something else. I mean, that's just the way wrestling works for most professional wrestlers. Like, you need to change scenery. He's kind of done everything he can do. I think he's hit his ceiling, in my personal opinion. He's got as high as he can go.
They told the obvious story with him. And then they didn't capitalize. The idea of running it back with Adam Cole is like, who cares, dude? You know, like, infuriating and dismissive. It's just, it doesn't interest me.
It's like we've said before, it's not, you know, some of it, like, they didn't do a good job with it. And some of it, is just, I still think he's gone as high as he could. Yeah, like they, it's just a, you know, it happens. That's the game.
It's always a mix,
I'm interested. I'm willing to give Cole a shot here and see where this goes. If he's actually, at least he's not going to be in the wheelchair anymore. So
yeah,
I will say when I saw Adam Cole in the wheelchair, I saw, look, here's this freaking nerd again. But then he stood up and I said, oh shit, it's Adam Cole. I don't know why. He's just like, he was like those moments. He's like, because the thing is, like, he had like no aura whatsoever. He stood up and started walking. I said, holy shit, it's Adam Cole.
When Cole's locked in, he's good. The problem is, you know, how locked in is he going to be? And I don't even mean like mentally, just physically. All, you know, there's so many factors at this point with him.
He's had a lot of bad luck. I want him to get back in there. I'm not convinced the Undisputed Kingdom is like something that they should lean on for long, regardless, right? It feels like a
Bobby Fish back.
So. If they does, it feels like an Undisputed Era rerun that's like not been asked for, you know.
It's we need to get rid of that music too.
That music is awful.
It's gotta go.
Roddy has a great theme. Like,
so does Kyle.
Cole's got a great heel theme that they could bring back.
They didn't use Kyle's theme. He had some weird.
They got rid of one of the cool things that the Kingdom have too. It's like, what the fuck? You got rid of all the cool music that this whole group has.
I really wish Maria was with them. I think it would help.
It would help a lot, It would give them just something, just a different factor, you know?
Like, and they're on Collision all the time now, so it's like we're not even – the whole point is not even happening.
That trio team of Roddy and the Kingdom is awesome. I saw highlights of their matches and stuff.
Oh, they're great. It's just
– good, man.
The people just – and the creatives killed, like – The vignettes they were doing with Cole and stuff, you know, when they were trying to convince all that. We don't even go back. That stuff was terrible.
Please don't talk about it.
Yeah, it was terrible. We'll get back to the Dynasty. Okay. Roddy and Kyle. Okay. What would we, I guess we should jump to the main event, right? Probably feels like the next, to me, that'd be the next best match of the night. That or the trios. We'll do the main event. They Swerve Strickland, Samoa Joe, AEW World Championship. A good match, a good wrestling match. Early on, I actually thought they were going to pull off something quite extraordinary and have something even more than that. The start of this match, they had a certain atmosphere, and Joe looked really sharp. I thought, fuck, they might have a great match here. And just a couple things, little kind of looseness, and it kind of dropped to being where I expected it to be, which it was a good match. This is not a natural pairing for either guy, right? But they stuck the landing, metaphorically anyway. Physically, didn't quite stick the landing they wanted to of the stomp, but great job adjusting.
I didn't even notice that.
When, you know, when Swerve on the top, when he said something to Joe and he went up, that was supposed to be a super stomp where Joe was on the middle. He was supposed to stomp him to the mat. And they got, you know, it didn't quite come off. But to his credit.
Oh, yeah, when he kind of jumped over him for no reason.
Yeah. But to his credit, how quickly did Swerve just powerbomb him and they got to the finish? I mean, that's all you can do.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? It was, they adjusted well. So they did stick the landing in terms of getting where they needed to. Great reaction on the finish. New world's champion, Swerve Strickland. His ascent has been a highlight of AEW over the last. Isn't that long, dude? Like, Wembley was in the coffin match, which was a great match, but he didn't feel like he was going to be the world champion 6 months or whatever, 8 months, you know? So, thrilled for him. Big deal, certainly. Dukes, take us through your play-by-play.
I'm sorry to report that the beginning of his entrance had strong Johnny Gargano vibes.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe Samoa Joe should win to the game.
Joe came out as Samoa Joe because he's real.
That's what I am.
I thought it was pretty cool. I don't know.
I mean, everyone else liked it, so I fuck it. What do I know?
I like the Jimmy Rave scarf, but besides the rest of it, you know, it's just.
Anyway.
Early in the match, they're like measuring each other, trying to lock up, and Nana's head just floats across the bottom of the screen. And he's like, whose house? And it's just his head keeps moving across. It's so funny.
He is unbelievable, dude.
He's awesome.
He's so great. I'm so happy for Prince Nana, man. It's wild.
Joe did a couple cool things. And then I thought the last, like, 7 minutes were really good.
They had some really strong false finishes, right? Yeah. And I did like the I like the deal where the Swerve – I didn't love him working the arm, but I did like the way it got him out of the choke. Well, that was cool. You know, yeah. Joe sold that great. And Swerve has some dynamite offense. The big thing with Swerve is, I think, just placing stuff in the right spot. You know, and we talked on Friday, Matt, about, like, he needs to find a good way to set up the stomp. It's a small thing, but it's a big thing. You know, like when you see a guy have to wait really long time, it does stand out. So those things are a lot easier to fix than if a guy just doesn't have it. He has it and then some, right? That's why he's jumped off the page. He feels like a superstar. Well, Siri does as world champ. Very, very intrigued. Matt, what did you make of the main event, mate?
I like this match a lot. I think it was an admirable effort after what it followed. I think that if it hadn't followed what it followed, it'd probably be a little bit more highly regarded. Yeah. But that, you know, that's fine. You don't want the rest of the show to be worse, so the main event can be more highly thought of. So I like this match a lot. Early on, it felt like they were going to do a full-on sprint. And they still, I mean, what was it, 16, 17 minutes? It's not like
it says 18 here, but okay. I've seen that. I've seen those numbers too. Yeah, I've covered it up with the paper. It's all over the place on that front. But yeah.
I thought Joe looked good. Like you said, they have a weird chemistry. I wouldn't say they have bad chemistry, but they don't have like that.
It's a weird blend, right? It's a weird clash sort of. But I agree with you. Isn't that they don't have chemistry, but it's more that style-wise, it takes a little bit of maneuvering, right? You know?
You know, I'm always bad about remembering exact details of matches, but
it's fine.
The stuff on the outside was good when they pulled the ring, you know. Joe's a professional, so he actually knew how to take the mat off.
And the real highlight of the match, if we're being real, beyond the finish and the result, which obviously is very, very special, but Jim Ross was...
Jim was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, so, like, on two layers. So, firstly, he was, like, actually great on the call. And this is probably one of his best AEW calls It's probably one of his best AEW calls, we're being real. Like, he actually made this for, like, a massive deal. On the more comedic front, though, he is deeply in love with Samoa Joe. To the point where, after Joe lost, he said, "Congratulations to Samoa Joe for being real."
He said, after the match ended, he said, well, if they wrestled 10 times, Joe would probably win 7 or 8 of them. but it's Swerve's night.
Man, I mean, that works, though, right? He's the underdog. I love it.
Jim being on what sounds like he's on a pay-per-view only deal. He's probably going to work a couple matches every pay-per-view. And honestly, it's perfect for him. Have him do matches he cares about. Mm-hmm. I was slightly bummed out for him because he said repeatedly he really wanted to call Ospreay and Danielson. And
I was bummed about that too.
But man, the Okada call he loves Okada, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure. He might be second to Austin all time.
we were joking earlier, if Okada is with Joe, Jim needs to have his own camera in the bottom of the screen, you know?
But I like this match a lot. You know, I mean, I don't do like star ratings, but it's like a solid, you know, it wasn't a great match, but it was a good match and the moment delivered and the crowd was into it. And that's all you can ask for.
Mm-hmm.
I was slightly worried about that. You know,
me too.
They were going to be exhausted.
Great crowd.
Great crowd.
Oh, yeah,
man.
You know, I'm surprised. I'm shocked I feel like AEW should do the special entrances that they did in the beginning of this match. It made it feel like big and special. You know how they just suddenly come down and they did the introductions in the ring? I thought that was so awesome.
Yeah. And they had like a camera angle from underneath when their nameplate showed up then. I like that.
Our friend Tape Machines reviewed the show. I don't know if you saw this part of it, Matt, but he was talking about how like there is, it's not a quality you'd put on like a skill chart necessarily, but there is something to be said for being a world champion and what that means. Mm-hmm. Samoa Joe's great in that regard. And
100%.
It's like, he's not a guy to build around. He's 44, 45 years old, but he's very steady force to get this belt where it needed to be. And now you've got to look ahead. You've got Swerve, you've got Ospreay, you've got Takeshita, you've got Hangman, you got Darby. I still put Darby in that. You know, like MJF, I still think you have to put him in that batch of like, they're the guys now, right? But this run has been a great example of using a veteran.
He restored the
TNT title?
Feeling again.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the word. But yeah, he restored the feeling of the title. Like, you know, Max, for whatever, you know, whatever you want to say about it, I think his title reign, especially the second half, it damaged the belt.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that he can't have a better reign in the future, but Joe restored the reputation of the title. Maybe that's the word. Mystique. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Mystique. Meech. That's what I was looking for, Mystique.
And it's gone, man.
I was going to say, because MJF was having the good matches, but not towards the end, but his matches were like, were really good. It's just nobody wants to see that. Like now, like Samoa Joe's run proves, and what Swerve's been doing and Ospreay's been doing proves that the crowd just wants to see what they're doing. They don't want the extra WWE flavor to it. They just want the matches, and they just want like big title fights. And I hope that even when he comes back, he just slides into that role too, like not like everybody else, but you know.
Right.
Without derailing, because we're talking, but that's like one of the most fascinating stories of the rest of this year for AEW is what lessons has Max learned?
Yeah.
Because look, man, his ceiling is still like as high
when
as
he's on
professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Exactly. But like, did he learn the right lessons from from the end of his run? Is he going to come back, you know, focused and playing into the things that the audience wants to see him do? Because if he does, he's going to knock it out of the park and people are going to love him again.
Show better. So
yes. Max, maybe more than anyone in the company, has the ability to greatly alter the quality of the television program. We saw him do it for months.
I wish we can just like teleport Max from the CM Punk feud, like him being that intense and that angry and pissed off all the time to now. I mean, I think that was like the best picture wrestler.
It's possible, man. It's very possible. I think fans and bookers have lost their mind a little bit of title reigns. And often a guy's first title reign is not the one to judge them on. But unfortunately, if you give them 13 months in their first title reign, you know, it's like this title reign we were just talking about with Joe was 4 months long, not even 4 months.
Yeah, that's all it needed to be. We got to stop with the long reigns for the sake of long. Now, look, if it's a long reign and it's legitimate and there's a reason for it to be a long reign and it's rocking and rolling, then do it. But we don't need to do it just to do
it. It's relevant with Swerve in that if I have the pencil, Swerve's dropping at Wembley, but that ain't Swerve's only title reign, bro. We're going back. He's one of the top guys, you know? So it's, as usual, the troops in the middle, there's a balance, long range, short range. If you go too far in either direction, you're going to have problems, I think. So, yeah.
Swerve is a true building block for this company.
It's huge. Yeah.
He gets it. I think he wants to be there, which, look, man, that's half the battle with AEW now. Not saying that all these guys want to leave, but I think,
he's actually where he wants to be, yeah.
And right. When Swerve's contract's up, you would feel pretty confident that he's going to re-sign. You can't say that about everyone on the roster. So he's a true building block. Is he a franchise guy? We don't know that yet. We're about to find out.
He might be.
He might be. Yeah, he really might be. His put in the scrum after the fact, he was impressive. He usually is, but he's got the right mindset. I'm very interested to see what happens. I have no idea what he's going to do from here. Hangman feels like it makes sense, but we don't know where Hangman.
I actually want to kick that around a little bit. Manny, I know you got something for it.
I was going to say, did you guys see Chris Jericho's speech to Swerve?
Bro, if it's Chris Jericho, Swerve should quit.
No, I don't know who posted it online, but I guess might have been Swerve recording the speech. Like he secretly was recording Jericho's speech, and it was like a minute 30. He just kept going on and on about how Swerve is the future, and then how this company needs to be built around him, and how he's the building blocks for the future. And if he said if he had the pen, if he was in charge, he would put Swerve on everything, like all the talk shows and everything. And it seems like I don't know. I just feel like from people within the company that he's going to, sky's the limit for him.
The only thing I would say is I do think I think there's increasing evidence that he is a heel. That's just what he's best. And I think that would be totally fine because Ospreay's the babyface. That'd be the two guys, for me. Manny, do you have anything else you want to say?
I was just going to say, if he is the face, it's going to be kind of hard when you have freaking Ospreay coming down the...
Yeah. I think that's your guys. I think those two, Hangman and Takeshita, should be like your But we'll see. But okay, let's quickly kick around some. So if Hangman's back, we don't know what to do. So if that's probably the way you go, right? The story was Hangman was stopping him from winning the belt. He's got the belt. Hangman goes for Swerve. If Hangman is unavailable, I see in the chat Franco brings up probably a suggestion I like a lot. Christian Cage, I think, is a great. I mean, I think he can heat himself up like that for that match, you know?
Yep.
I think that's the one.
Yeah, he doesn't even have to heat himself up, honestly. He just interrupts Swerve and you're there. Yeah. Like, you don't have to do anything.
I agree. Chat, throwing some names, feel free to. I'm intrigued if there's any others that jump off the page. It's a stacked roster, but this is a specific role, right? It's like we've got a month. Who are the heels, you know?
The big thing is the heel guy. Because, like, I mean, as much as some people have grown at it, if he's actually healthy, I think Adam Cole, but I wouldn't do it this fast.
Jay White is one that I think needs some work.
You could heat Jay up at any time. Goodbye, Manny. Ricky Starks would be interesting, but I'm not sure where he stands at this point.
Doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, you
definitely. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
There are a bunch of guys who I think are like a three month run up away.
Yeah.
And that's where Christian's valuable, right? Because he's kind of like a Samoa Joe's Christian. Like, you know. You can always get Christian in the game. So I think it's going to be Hangman, though, to be honest. I don't know anything. It's just guesswork. I think Hangman.
He's going to beat Hangman again?
That is difficult, yeah.
That's the only problem I have with it. Yeah,
but how do you get...
Because you can't... You're not doing Okada because he's got the other belt and you're not beating him right now.
Yeah, he's definitely getting the big belt at some point.
Oh, for sure.
What if it's Shibata?
Maybe. What if it's Manny the Hooper? He's back.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad. My dog knocked out my
board. I just...
Kota Ibushi.
Please. What were you talking about? We're trying to figure out who Swerve could work at Double or Nothing, if not Hangman.
I mean, stylistically, on it, Jay White makes a ton of sense, but I just...
I think you need
he's just the guy right now. I mean, look, don't be wrong. The crowd still cares about him if you heat him up. But, like, I wouldn't. Yeah. Plus, he's just going to lose again. Like,
isn't it? Can it be Rush? Because I see everybody saying it. And I saw one of the Lucha dudes just talking about how he's canceling his bookings now for Saturdays.
I mean, that'd be a cool match.
Oh, I can see them doing
that. Work to do.
Yeah, I don't see him as a pay-per-view main eventer, right? Not on talent, on just status, you know?
I could see it being Takeshita.
Maybe. And then would that, so then would the.
That kind of start the Osprey thing, right?
It could be Brian and Osprey versus Hobbs and Fletcher. I mean, it could be, I think that feels a little bit.
They're going to beat the shit out of Will. I don't know if it'll be Wednesday, but it's coming soon.
I think,
Very interesting. I don't know.
I have a Will Osprey problem.
Man, he loses all the time, though.
Yeah. What's that, Manny?
It's not really a problem because I don't mind it, but I think it might be like an AEW problem. Like, what do you do with Will Ospreay? Because, he's gonna kill these crowds.
So you know,
I'm talking about him as him not being a champ, but like him just being in the middle of these pay per views,
and then he won't be for long. Yeah, I get your point. He's gonna look, man. I'm sorry, they got to go with a Wembley thing. We had this conversation on Friday. I know I wasn't trying to convince you or come at you two both for like pretty much all that reaction. Duke's nice. He's got to be on top of these shows, man. Yeah. He can close these shows, you know. All right, I think it's worth Dukes. What do you think the best finish is if we do Hangman in Vegas? Because the problem is, if we're going Osprey, I don't know when Hangman gets the belt back anyway. You know.
Yeah, that's why I think you just wait on the Swerve.
Hangman how do you thing. Bring Hangman back in something else, though? You know, it's like that's kind of the.
Yeah. Then how do you? Then how do you?
Back yet, I guess. That's the thing is, do we even like? We don't even know if he's.
We don't know. Yeah, it's pure speculation. Don't
he could not come back until Swerve loses, and then he can beat Swerve. But that feels like a long time.
Yeah, because you don't want Swerve be just being the dog shit out of Hangman. Like he's only beat him once, right?
He beat him twice.
No, Hangman. Twice,
Hangman's never beat him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He drew.
Yeah. And Swerve had him beat.
So I think you should just hold off on Hangman.
This is AEW's version of Cody Rhodes and maybe Seth Rollins.
Maybe bring him back.
Don't you ever compare Hangman to Seth Rollins again while I'm on the screen. That's disgusting.
There's no way you do this still, right? Like, do you just switch the you can't switch the belt that soon, can you? I would not do that. But I get it's a good question because it is like
God, if they went right to Jack Perry, I would pop huge. I don't think it's a good idea, but I would pop huge. Be a good match.
There may be worse ideas than like the EVPs getting Jack a title shot.
Yeah.
I don't really care for it as a pay-per-view main event, but like he has the detention right now, you know? Very interesting.
What if you just have him wrestle Naito and then Naito gets the AEW title?
No. I'd rather Swerve have a good match.
Me too. Good point.
What
if he wrestles Bryan Danielson? He can't though.
They got rankings.
Bryan Danielson just got like killed, bro.
He's a fucking loser, man.
That injury was so funny because when he hit the Tiger Driver, I thought it was perfect bump, and then like everybody online is freaking out that he's injured. And I was
pro wrestling's back, Manny.
Yeah,
I had to go back and rewatch it. I was like, I swear I saw him land perfect.
Did you see him fall off the when Ospreay flipped through the Hurricane Rana off the top rope?
Yeah, that was scary. Yeah,
that's where I thought Danielson died. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Kenny's just gonna be on the Winnipeg show. It'll be an appearance. They'll probably, I would guess, the Bucks and them will probably be a dick to him, and that'll be about the extent of it.
Cool. Yeah.
He's not cleared. There's no way he can.
Just kick him in the gut.
I think from this conversation, I think the Hangman deal is one you might want to wait on. Do something with him and the Bucks. And I think Christian might be the play.
Christian does make the most sense.
And it's not like he hasn't. I mean, he was the top heel in the promotion for a good stretch there, you know, over the fall. And so I think that might be the play.
It's going to be cool to find out, genuinely. Like,
yeah, I love really that stuff.
Yeah, me too.
I genuinely enjoy the, like, new champ reset thing. I think it's fun, you know?
So. We kind of, in some ways, like, not fully, but, like, we kind of have a promotion reset. Like, there's a couple things that are going to continue, but we're going
to... And I want the Wednesday TV to feel like that, you know?
Me too, especially at dailies. Like,
honestly, bro, I don't need a promo train because I know they're fucking lame, but, like, if you come out the first week with there are a few guys that want title shots, they're going to wrestle. Sweet, you know, I'm in. That's sick. That works for me. Like, so
did you do Edge?
No, Ooh. I think Cope's got his own path. Edge, the guy who used
to. I don't know who that is.
Manny Adam Copeland. So.
The Radar Copeland.
All right. So let's use it as a transition.
We call him Trios Big Cope around here.
House of Black, Adam Copeland, Ed Kingston, Mark Briscoe. Really fun. Trios match, very much in the vein of the Sting and Copeland trios from Full Gear. Just so watchable, these matches, right? Very, very, very easy. Dukes, please lead us through your advanced notes. Go for it.
This babyface team is, like, crazy.
Very TEW.
Yeah, like, the weirdest, like, collection of characters ever, and I loved it. I think the funniest thing early in the match was them doing the Cope and Malakai Black face off, and the crowd like did not come up for it like they wanted them to. Like they wanted like the big like, oh shit.
They kinda came up though.
Everyone was like, woo, and then Brody King came in and they were like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I think that match will be one the circle.
It will be good. I just thought it was funny.
I actually would like it to be good, to be honest.
I was kind of confused by the Malakai Black thing. Everybody was saying that he was bad in the match. I thought he was all right.
He's been really good recently.
I think Matt mentioned it on Friday. I think House of Black in ring have actually had a really good year, to be honest with you. I think they've been good.
I made a joke during that show, but it's like I said I was going to vote for Malakai Black for most improved this
year. He's wrestling and looks pretty good.
He's actually crying now, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why, but like,
I thought he looked pretty good too.
I thought he looked good.
you know, obviously physically he's the least impressive of the guys, but he does have like Dukes is not wrong. It wasn't a huge ovation, but they do react to Malakai as a, they do generally treat him.
I just thought it was funny because they were clearly looking for like the big face off.
Well, learn a valuable lesson there, Dukes. There's no room for humor in wrestling podcasts. This is analysis. This is note taking. This is numbers. This is graphs. Speaking of such, back to your notes, Dukes.
There's no numbers or graphs on my notes.
There is kind of, there's a lot of graphs involved in your general LNGM.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, anyway, back to your thing.
Eddie Kingston and Brody King, elite chemistry. Big Cope and Brody King, elite chemistry. I want I want that singles match. And then Brody King fucking killed Mark Briscoe in the guardrail.
He took his own head off too,
dude,
right?
The guardrail fucking, like they showed it after, the guardrail was like fully bent.
I honestly think that was worse for Brody because like he hit his like neck on the the rest of the match, he kept checking his ear for blood. Not a great sign.
That was a crazy spot. Eddie falling over when he threw the chop in the corner. Real no fucking graps.
Yep.
And Taz was like, oh, he's fired up. Really good cover. Triple spear was like the most Cope planned spot I've ever seen in my life. It's like, what if we all had a spear at the same time?
Dude, Eddie's spear was fucking hilarious too. Like he'd never seen a spear. It made Jey Uso's spear look like Goldberg's spear. It was crazy.
And the last thing I have is Cope sold the mist like he got shot.
Yeah, as he should. As he should.
Hopefully there's a turn evil or whatever.
That is a little bit concerning. But do we think Cope Malakai is Vegas or is that TV? What do you reckon?
I think it's Vegas, yeah.
So do I, yeah. I think we are going to get a hilarious build to that, I've got to be honest.
My main takeaway from this match, and I honestly can't even remember which of the announcers said it, but they referred to Buddy Matthews and Mark Briscoe as a heated rivalry. And I was both confused and fired up because now all I want is Buddy Matthews versus Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor World Championship.
To be fair, do you remember they did that deal where he tried to light Buddy on fire?
Yeah. Oh,
that's true, yeah.
So he hit him more ways
this
than
is
one.
My lore. Fault. It's all my fault. I just don't remember shit.
Didn't Mark stop Buddy's match from happening on one collision?
Yeah, that was that episode. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
That would fucking rule. I need it.
Manny just yelling at the top of his lungs about this. I love potting with Hooper. Yes, Matt, that would be great. That would be very LNG.
Give him 25 minutes on collision.
Yeah, everyone else gets 25 on collision. Yeah. Why not, right? Okay.
No, put it over the boner.
Good. Well, Manny, anything on the Cope trios?
That one-arm powerbomb was pretty cool.
I've matched pretty strong, in my opinion. All right. I love it. You know what else I loved? Timeless Toni Storm.
Yes.
Thunder Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
So happy for Thunder Rosa, dude. I was a little bit concerned that her form since returning was kind of just what we was going to get now, because it happens, right? Especially with like a back problem. But I thought she was terrific. And so Toni was right there with her. Toni didn't really do the shtick here. She just wrestled. We always have complimented when she does that, so... Yeah, this honestly rocked, and the big thing for me, the babyface fire of Thunder Rosa. Like, especially when last month you saw Toni work Deonna. I'm a fan of Deonna, but she doesn't have any of that, right? It's not her game at all.
Yeah.
It's just the people react to it, man. They see a babyface who wants to win. Imagine that. Like, they get into it. So this kicked ass. Dukes, please walk us through your notes.
I don't have a lot here because all I have is they're beating the dog shit out of each other. Hell yeah. Which is most of the match, and it was fucking awesome. Yeah, Thunder Rosa did it. She stomped Toni right in the fucking face.
Yeah.
And Toni had like a boot mark on her chin. That was beast.
This isn't one for... Yes, mate?
We have some breaking news for tomorrow night on Dynamite.
Oh.
Per Tony Khan's Twitter, Mina Shirakawa versus Anna Jay.
My God. Godfather 2?
The Professor. The Professor, wow. Mina Shirakawa. We're back.
I thought their match on Ring of Honor was pretty good. Nothing like crazy, but it was pretty steady, right?
And it's having a good year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most improved.
Anyway, where was we? Oh, yeah. Thunder Rosa is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I have.
Manny, what are your thoughts on Thunder Rosa?
I watched the match.
Oh.
So obviously I don't show it on here, but I've actually got a giant big board of the AEW roster.
True.
Okay. And I had taken Thunder Rosa off of it because I had given up, and I had to pull that out of the trash and put it back up on the board because wow. She's back. Genuinely though, I was very, very happy for Rosa. Because she had not looked good since she returned. I thought she looked great here. I loved this match. Obviously it wasn't like a classic or anything. I don't think any of us are claiming that, but it was a very good match. Beat the shit out of each other. Tony's got a couple good matches in a row now. Tony's performance in the scrum was hilarious.
Always.
Good night for Tony Storm. Good night for Thunder Rosa. Good night for the women's division. In more ways than one, which I'm sure we're going to talk about soon.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Timeless Tony, what do we think the Double or Nothing match could be? Like, do we think they do something Mariah?
Mina Shirakawa.
That's Forbidden Door.
Do you think?
Yeah, that's true. That makes more sense.
Do you think they might do that Deonna, Thunder, Mariah 4-way they've kind of been... If it was like just been like in play the whole time... Because Deonna beat Mariah on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that might be... What they do, they often will go with the multi woman on these bigger shows. You know, I think that might be the play.
They asked Tony about defending it against Mariah at the scrum, and she stormed off. So I mean, there's fun.
That's a good point.
Because when you do the four, like when you do it like that, you can like hint at it and tease it and play with it rather than just doing the match, right?
Yeah.
Because like, inevitably Mariah's going to try and win, and
Mariah should win it at Wembley if Jamie's not going to be back. So
yeah, I agree. It's a big if, because hopefully.
I hope Jamie's back.
You've got 4 months. Like I'm pretty optimistic.
I'm almost to the point with Mariah where I'd still be torn at that point.
I don't know, man. I get it. They should be on there. What you would do is you'd get the belt, put the belt somewhere else, and have Tony and Mariah work Wembley as is, right?
Mariah's fucking awesome, man. I'd be tempted to build the division around her. I think I said that on Friday too. Like,
Oh, I get it.
She's special.
Absolutely. Okay. All right.
And she's an Alexa Bliss fan,
which is more important than any of those things.
Right.
Yeah. Same goes for me now.
Is there a reason why Thunder Rosa didn't wear face paint? Or
yeah,
that was the whole build, Manny. Tony wiped it off of her.
We're not going to spend any time on Jericho and Hope because it's just, you know, we've all said it. We covered it on the preview. So Willow Nightingale is the new TBS champion. And they couldn't have much of a match here because Julia was hurt, obviously. But she toughed it out and they had a match rather than it being like a squash or an angle. They had a match. It went like 6 minutes, I think. Yeah, six. That's here. So
I thought it was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. They couldn't do anything more than that, right? And it came. I think this was the right play in that. Their options were a straight-up squash, which I think almost would have taken away from the title win in a weird way, because that would have been the story, was Julia couldn't wrestle.
Yeah, people like Julia, so... Yep, I mean, I know exactly. She's a heel, but they still like her.
Same with the whole House of Black, right? They're over. And also, the other option was they could have done smoke and mirrors and done 100 run-ins, which would have definitely took away from her. So this was the right call. They had a real match, as much of one as they could have. It was fine. Willow gets the win. The people love Willow. And then Mercedes came out. And notably, the announcers framed it as pretty heelish, right? Which is important because it is very obvious that against Willow Nightingale, she should be the heel. So, Dukes, your notes.
Yay, Willow won.
Fair. Yeah, you know, there was one moment where they did this spot where Julia had to like kick Willow to the ground, and one of the announcers said the tremendous leg strength of Julia Hart. Like that was like an established thing, you know, pop me. Matt, anything else on this match? I know you just said a minute ago, but it was decent, right?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have any issues with the match. Yeah. Good for Julia for toughing it out. I thought she looked fine. Big moment for Willow. I thought it delivered. I honestly liked the post-match. Thank God we finally got a Mercedes match graphic, what we've been waiting for. I know we still got to wait a while for it. Tony basically confirmed that she isn't cleared without actually admitting it.
Right.
In the post-show scrum. So, yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see where it goes. They need to, Mercedes needs to be a heel eventually. I would probably do it pretty damn quickly. But, yeah, that's the only thing is the build to this will be interesting. It may not be very good. But the match itself will rule.
Yeah, match would be great. I think I would go full sports build on this, I think.
Statlander's going to be involved too, though, because I'm still convinced Statlander's turning.
This is the issue we have, is Stat is the angle within this match, because she is, to me, pretty obvious she's the one who attacked Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we discussed on Friday, Matt, right? It's like, that's complicated, because in a vacuum, the best finish for Willow and Mercedes is Mercedes cheats to win and establishes herself as a heel.
Yeah.
And then they feud for a long time. The problem is, if Chris is turning, how do you, like, it feels like that's going to be a big kind of looming over the match. You know, it's difficult. I don't know the answer. Maybe they do. Yeah.
I'm like, not even like, this is another thing that they have where even though the execution of it may not be great, just because I'm not super confident in Mercedes' performance in this area, even though I like her, she's just not her strength. I'm actually genuinely intrigued to see where they're going, what they're doing. Yeah, they've got multiple things like that now, which is, I mean, that's great. So I'm just not sure. You know, it's also possible that the Statlander thing's a red herring, and that's, she's not who would jump, but like.
I think that, I honestly think that would be a good call, because I think there's so much left for Chris to do as a babyface, you know?
Yeah. And what's Stokely, you know, Stokely could go any direction here.
He should go with Mercedes, I think.
I agree.
He won. Finally, but yeah.
I mean, he's Stokely. I'm so happy that they've got like a
thing for him to do.
Good role for Stokely. He's very good in this. He's good when they put him on commentary during those matches. You know, the promos are good with the three of them. The dynamic between the three of them is awesome. Yeah. But I feel like Statlander and Trent thing is tied together. I'm interested. That's another one I'm interested in, because I don't know. Like, I don't know what Chuck's going to do on Wednesday. So.
Could you do a deal where Mercedes spends the whole build saying that Chris was the one who attacked her, and in reality it was all a ruse and it was just to fuck with Willow? No one attacked her at all, which, if we're being real, based on how that segment went, would not be a big leap to take.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
it felt totally like, well, you know. Because then she could leave as the heel with Stoke, mentioned in the chat here. Megan Bain could be her heater.
Yeah.
Chris and Willow are then still a babyface alliance. I mean, because then you can go heel Mercedes versus babyface Chris Statlander and Willow.
And you could do the tag, which...
Yeah.
Oh.
Because the visual of Megan with as Mercedes heater is a great idea. That'd money. Be fucking awesome. Yeah.
We'll see. Again, they might have a great finish up this. I'm not like... The people like Mercedes enough that I'm not like an emergency state with the heel thing.
Oh,
like,
maybe they can pull it off.
Because... If you remember, Matt, we did a grin along for, I think you might have been on that show, Dukes. I forget, the Mercedes Willow grin along, maybe.
Yes, I think I was.
Willow was like the wrestling heel in that, inside the ropes, because so you can do a sports build and have them wrestle a babyface match easily. So,
yeah, I think that match is going to have a good atmosphere no matter what they do, because people care about Willow and they're finally going to get to see Mercedes wrestle. And
Oracle said it very funny on Friday. He said, if they have any guts, but in fairness, I do think the same as said before. I do think internally your goal should be, let's get this match to a point where it could main event.
Yeah.
Right? That should be the goal, I think, with Mercedes' big matches. So we'll see, folks. But that was Dynasty, and we had a little fun here, fantasy booking some Double or Nothing also. We hope you've enjoyed this. If you have, please give the thumbs up gimmick on the YouTube. Once we're done also, please leave a comment. That helps us out, apparently. Dukes told me. So all those good things, please do them. All right, Dukes, any final words, any thoughts, any plugs?
Nope.
Manny?
Nothing. Oh, I guess our draft on Friday, but...
Indeed. This Friday, 11:05 Eastern.
I'm pretty sure there's no Rampage again this Friday.
Really?
I think it's 3 hours on Saturday again.
Okay, we may move it forward in that case. We'll see what everyone thinks.
I'm okay.
In fact,
that.
Because I've booked Contrarian Alex, I may just leave, because he's already at 10. You know what I'm saying? I may just leave it. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm pretty sure that Tony said that.
All right. We'll stay tuned to that. But some point on Friday night.
Yeah.
There's going to be a show called the Late Night Grin. Now, it's not just any Late Night Grin, is it, Duke? This is not just an ordinary Late Night Grin. No. This is something we've been talking about for a long time now. It is the all-time LNG draft. What does that mean? Well, it means that if they ever professionally wrestled, they are on the board to be selected. There are six GMs. Myself, Manny the Hooper, the reigning champion of LNG drafts, as we know. Just look to the sky for those of you listening. The confirmed shoe. Bobby Two Shoes, Robert O'Neill, political commentator, as we know. We have the Oracle of Wrestling, who is an infamous draftee. And, of course, Contrarian Alex, who I fear could do some reprehensible things.
So I got some questions about this.
Go for it.
Obviously, do I get the first pick since I won last time? And then...
Well, I don't know about all that. I think we're going to do what we did last time and have that little race gimmick. Remember we had that deal where it was like a race? I think we're going to do that. So to be fair, really. But yeah.
And how many rounds are we going?
I think we're probably going to do 20 again. 20 would, so that would give us, that would get, be what, 120 grapplers by the end of it. So, like, at least we'd cover some. Because part of the fun is when you get to the 115th pick or whatever, and it's like, obviously, there's a big pool, but you get what I'm saying.
I got the iPad out, and I went down, and I have 70 wrestlers down that I have just in case. And I made multiple cards of how I would stack them like that. You know, I started fantasy booking, I was looking at cage matches. I was like, who wrestled here? What can I do?
Wow. You know? Okay, I'm going to ask. I shouldn't, but I'm going to. Is he on your big board?
Yeah, but he's like, I knew there might be some competition with him, so I put him. If he's available at 50, you know.
All right, very modest of you. Okay. A man who limits himself. I respect that. Okay.
I had to make strategic plans. You know, I was like, who should I pick? You know, should I go for newer guys first? So the older guys, you know.
It's going to be very fun. Everyone's going to be building their own, like, you know, their own idea of what a good wrestling roster and promotion is, too. So it's going to be, I'm sure it'll be absolute horseshit, but that'll be this Friday. Matt, any closing thoughts, mate?
No, not really. I can, for anyone who cares. Rampage is not on Friday because of the hockey playoffs, and then Collision follows the Heat and Celtics on Saturday. It starts at 8:30 instead of 8. And then Rampage follows Collision.
So we're going to try to we'll see. I'm going to try and make a little group chat for us and try and move it forward just because it makes sense, right, rather than having that dead hour. So that's the plan. That's the hope. We'll see if it comes together. If not, who knows, at Late Night Grim, we'll keep you updated. So that's what's ahead of us, folks. Friday night. Any Fleet Week this week, Dukes?
I have no idea. No idea.
There's also no Collision at all the week after. I fucking hate this time of year, man.
Bullshit.
Hockey and basketball playoffs.
I'm not too keen on it right now, either.
Fucking over my wrestling.
Yeah. All right. There you go, folks. So that's what we got to look forward to next week. I think we're doing the Backlash preview. So good times here at LNG. We hope you've enjoyed this. Again, when I hit this outro, do us a solid. Leave a comment. You could comment something like, I like when Dukes takes notes. You could comment something like 50, that's very low. Or you could comment, nice hat, fellas.
Yeah.
Any of those or a custom choice of your own is fine by me, but please do help us out. Thumbs up, subscribe, comment, all that bullshit. But most importantly, keep grinning all hell and enjoy this outro, folks. Have a good one.